You can generate as many crappy buyer leads online as you want, but if you don't have the reputation where other agents want to choose to accept your offer and work with you, you've wasted your time. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Super excited today. We have kind of a different flavor, right? Like if we usually go vanilla, today we're going strawberry. I flew down to Austin, Texas. You guys know I like to travel. For a one-day conference, I presented to home inspectors, not my normal brand. Usually I'm talking to real estate agents and lenders. But it was really interesting because I think the home inspection industry, you know, for years and years and years, it's been a little sleepy, but I've learned that there's a lot of inspection agencies around the country that are really changing things up right now. And I had the opportunity to meet Nick and his team, Nick Wright, owner of Right Choice Property Inspection in Louisville, Kentucky, and some of the surrounding areas. And I learned from these guys. Like I had so many pages of notes after hearing Nick and his team talk of some of the things that they're doing, not just to market towards realtors, but some of the direct to consumer stuff and some just different ways that they've grown their market share in the community. So Nick, welcome to the show today. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Matt. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's just start. We always like to start with like some real numbers so that people can get your credibility and hopefully they stick around for the show. And then we're going to go into your origin story. And then we're going to go into kind of what you're doing right now to provide people kind of the context of where we're going today. So Nick, what kind of production are you guys doing? How many property inspections did you do in 2023?
We are on track for end of 2023 to hit just over 2,000 property inspections, including residential and commercial properties. So we are super excited about that for this year.
So obviously, you know, property inspectors have a little bit more bandwidth than your typical realtor, right? Like so a high producing realtor that we usually have on the show, they're doing between 100 and 500 sales per year. Maybe lenders are doing between 200 and 1,000 sales per year. For the home inspection industry, 2,000, how many inspectors does it take to facilitate that level of business with still delivering the quality that y'all give?
We have grown this year to 7 full-time inspectors. Well, 1 part-time, but yeah, so it's 7 inspectors to be able to take on that productivity. And it's just providing us that quick turnaround service with the staff that we have on board.
So, I mean, those are some pretty big numbers, and I imagine you probably have the number one market share for any inspection agency in your general area. So congrats on that growth.
Thank you.
So how the heck did you end up in this industry? So, I mean, we all got into it in weird different ways, but how did you end up in our lovely real estate inspection industry?
So my personal background is commercial construction. My grandparents or my grandfathers and my dad all in construction growing up. So it's kind of in my head to get into the construction world out of school. But in 2015, I had a change in my career, and my wife at the time put the idea in my head to become a home inspector. And I'd never been an entrepreneur or marketer or anything like that before. I was all about corporate business. But 2015, I just decided to take a leap and start my own LLC and start our inspection company. Got licensed and accredited by the end of 2015 and launched it like late 2015. And it's just all gone uphill from there.
One of the things when we were talking earlier that fascinated me, and I think it's a really good tie-in to any real estate agent that really wants to do it, is that between the day that your wife put this idea in your head and the day that you did your first home inspection, it was a ridiculously short window of time. And I think, tell me, like, what all did you do and what was the time frame? Because I think people need to hear this.
So I'll just tell the whole story. But so my wife, she was a hairstylist at the time. I actually got laid off from a small family-owned business and was devastated. Nothing I did or anything. They told me it wasn't my fault and stuff. But she had actually came home the same day that I got laid off, and she had cut a woman's hair that day. It was a long-term client of hers. Her and her husband owned a home inspection business. And they were talking about how great of a home inspector I would be. And she came home that day, and I broke the news to her, and she's like, "What a small world." Actually talked to this woman today, and she thought you'd be a great home inspector. And I literally got on Google immediately and Googled traits of a home inspector, and it described my entire career and background to a T. And I was like, this is like a perfect cookie cutter description of like my entire career thus far. And light clicked on in my head and I was like, I'm just going to take the leap and do this. Came up with our LLC name, sketched out a logo that evening. The following day, I reached out to a marketing company and had them design the logo and stuff, and actually found a school to get credited for being a home inspector. Started the following week. So I think I got laid off on a Thursday and started the school the following like Wednesday. Completed that school in a week or two that it took, and then took my national exam. And got, I was licensed within probably 3 months, I would say. When we were speaking earlier, I was talking about like immediately just started working my sphere of influence of family and friends I knew in the industry right after that.
And how, like, once you had your license, how long before you had your first deal?
Day one. Yeah. I mean, so during the process, right? Of the school and training and everything, I was putting the word out there to my sphere that I'm in the process of doing this. I'll be licensed very soon and stuff. Just want to let you all know. I'd love the opportunity to get some business from you. And then day one that I was licensed, I was like letting people know. And actually, I think I had one or two inspections the very first day I had launched it.
So I think this is huge, right? So like, obviously the inspections are different than, you know, showing someone 30 houses and getting a sale, right? Like mm-hmm. very few realtors are getting a closed deal on their first day. But what does match over to really any sales industry is that you took the time when you were training, which is in theory like dead time, and you marketed to your sphere and kept them informed and made them part of your process. You kind of got, you made them feel invested. And you got them excited about it. I think this is something that realtors could do better. This is something that lenders could do better as well. Because when we're training, when we're doing things, it's like all encompassing. And we feel like, oh, we can't go to market until we're fully done. But then what happens is you get done and then you sit around twiddling your thumbs for a long period of time to get those mm-hmm. first couple clients. And that is the tough part. And in some companies, real estate, especially some of the big brokerages, it can almost be like death by training, because you go through hundreds and hundreds of hours of training and then you maybe have some knowledge, but no real world knowledge, but you still don't have a paycheck coming in. And I think that's why the failure rate is so high for commissioned salespeople, because they never get the ball rolling and they never feel confident enough in order to go out and put themselves out there. So I guess like that's lesson one, right? Like the faster you can do that with confidence, faster you're going to get that first deal in any mm-hmm. industry that you're in. I love that. So how did you build that trust, right? Like you were new. So you had experience in construction. You were very knowledgeable. Your sphere knew that. But how did you, what were your tactics to go out and develop business-to-business relationships? Obviously for you, that's probably realtors. That's probably lenders, insurance agents, a little bit of direct-to-consumer. Obviously realtors need to build relationships with all kinds of industry connections to get leads. Like, how did you do that? Because it's easier said than done.
So I really, from day one, I was like trying to let my experience shine as a contractor in the past. I think that goes a long way in the home inspection industry, having that hands-on knowledge, hands-on experience. So like I've had that on all of our marketing materials, like 15 years experience in commercial, residential, construction.
All right, I have to pause you there because this is something I've been talking about for years, right? Like mm-hmm. I want every salesperson to stop talking about the fact that they're new. Stop saying that you have 2 months of experience. Let's market your past experience and find something that's related, right? Like my first day in real estate marketing, I'm presenting about, you know, real estate marketing at a brokerage and I have 1 day of experience. No, I had just gone to college for 7 years for marketing. Like I had 7 years of marketing experience. So I said 7 years of marketing and real estate experience, you know, 6 years and 364 days in marketing, 1 year in real, 1 day in real estate. And you did that. I did that. It clearly worked. So if you're listening, make sure to use that past experience, whatever it was, customer service, sales, real estate, home experience. Maybe you were a stay-at-home mom and you market that like home experience, like managing a home. Whatever it is, you need to figure out a creative way to market that in a trustworthy way to relate to people. I love that. All right, Nick, sorry I cut you off, but I had to like dwell on that
for a second. You are good. No, I mean, that is like truly like, I think how I sold people at the beginning was just like my personality, just being like overly friendly and stuff like that, but also just establishing my credibility with them and giving them like a peace of mind that they know that I know what I was talking about, like when viewing a home and everything.
So I know you mentioned that, like, you know, maybe let's say a year after you started, right? Like you started to run into a problem with capacity. And I think that's an issue that everyone in our industry, assuming that they do something right, whether on purpose or by getting lucky, runs into. So walk us through, you know, you built a level of success and then what happened?
I got to the point as a single man inspection firm where I was booked out literally 2 to 3 weeks in advance doing 17, 18 inspections a week by myself.
And that doesn't work for any realtor, as all the realtors listening know. So how did you got to that point after a year, how did you fix it?
Well, I mean, at the time when I started, I think like the turnaround time, by the time you're under contract to get an inspection, you had 15 days, which it worked at the time, but the market started changing and it got down to where you had 14 days, 10 days, 7 days, and then COVID happened. And you had some people were writing in their contracts, we need an inspection done in 48 hours or something. But with my capacity, it got to the point where I was actually like turning away work. And I realized that. And I was like, I do not want to lose my clientele or realtors or anything like that, because I can't get to them in a decent amount of time. So I think it was about 2 years in, almost getting burnt out doing it all by myself. And I was like, time to onboard somebody. I hired a family friend that I've known for years, and he had been in construction and everything as well. And then he got to the point where he was fully at capacity as well. And it just kept clicking. And I was like, okay, I hired my brother-in-law at that point, and all three of us got to that.
So what's like the number? Like what percent capacity does your calendar need to be at before you start interviewing?
So this year, we joined an awesome group called Inspector Empire Builder. They've got some awesome systems and training to help us grow and scale our business. But learning a lot this year, stuff that I should have been doing years ago. But when we're at now, we're realizing at 75 to 80% capacity each week, we need to look at onboarding another inspector. And an inspection business is kind of seasonal as well. So we take that into account. Like, of course, the holidays, November, December, not too many people are out house shopping and stuff. So with the slower time right now, we actually did just onboard somebody else because we are at 80% capacity for the week. But just gearing up for the new year and springtime coming up. And I think we're talking about bringing on another one in preparation for springtime.
Real estate has a lot of contracts. I want this podcast to have a social contract as well. Here's what I need from you. If you're listening to the show and you get something valuable out of it, or you hear something that you think, that's awesome, I want you to send me a DM on Instagram, or if you find my email, send it that way. The more feedback that I get helps me to put together better shows and attract better guests.
So, I mean, I think for a real estate agent, for a sales professional in our industry, you know, what I think you need to do first, right? Like we talk all the time about having a time block. If you first start with your time block of marketing, sales, and administrative activities that you have to get done, right? Like your non-negotiables, you have those hours in your calendar. And then you have another 20 hours time blocked out for showings, for listing appointments, for listings, for the ancillary work that pops up that's deal related. The same number applies, right? Like for Nick, he mentioned 80%, 75%. If you're a real estate agent and you look at your calendar 2 weeks out and you're already 80% booked with all of that other work, it's time to hire an admin, right? Like we recommend starting with the transaction coordinator, moving on to an assistant, like a full-time assistant. And then after that, if you're still at 80%, still profitable, those people are busy, then you start to add buyer's agents and things like that. But you need to have that metric ahead of time so that you can spot that before it's too late. The minute you start getting too overly booked, you can't help clients and you're referring it out for a meager 30%, it's kind of too late at that point.
That was honestly something I struggled with, being like a solo LLC owner. And it was my baby. I didn't want to let things go. And I was like, I could do all this. I could do it all. I got to the point I was like getting so burnt out and overworked. And one of the greatest things I learned, growing through our process is to delegate. Once you get to a certain point, start delegating. Find you a transaction coordinator or an admin or whatever, the little stuff that you can hire out or subcontract out or whatever. Do that and take that off your plate so you can shine and do the important things that you need to be working on.
I love that. So, you know, we get to another point and we get to like, it's a crowded market, right? So like, how many other inspectors do you think are in your market? You call I jokingly saw on social that you guys call it Kentuckiana, which I thought was clever.
Yeah, it's a mix of Kentucky and Southern Indiana. It's all, so Louisville Metro is a large metro area. Southern Indiana, there's a couple larger cities directly across the river from there. So they call it Kentuckiana. But in our market alone, I would guess that there's probably, I would guess honestly, over 200 inspectors in our area probably.
And how many transactions do you think are happening in a month?
For other inspectors?
No, like, hey, yeah, how many property inspections do you think are taking place each month in your market?
Oh, I think right now, I was looking at the market the other day. I think we currently have around like 8,000 homes listed. Monthly transactions, probably 3,000 to 4,000 maybe.
So 200 plus inspectors. Not every home has an inspection performed, which is unfortunate. But I mean, there's a lot of competition. I think realtors are feeling that right now too, right? Like it's a very crowded market, right? There's probably 10,000 realtors for those 8,000 homes. And you know, the top 1% is probably doing a tenth of that business or 50th of that business. So how do you stand out in a crowded market? Like what are your unique selling propositions?
So I've always, from day one, we've taken pride in like our marketing, networking, stuff like that. I think any entrepreneur or realtor, anybody, they need to do that stuff. I spoke to an agent yesterday, had a coffee meeting with him, and I was like, hey, are you going to this event next week? And he's like, oh, I don't really like to do that kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, you got to get yourself out there. I was like, even if it's a room full of realtors, I was like, go out there, make your presence known. I was like, get your name out there, but get your brand in front of people. And I was like, it'll grow your business, even if it's with your direct competitors and stuff. But we take a lot of pride in getting ourselves out there in front of the realtors, in front of the consumers. We go to lots of networking events, tons of social media stuff. We're always doing giveaways, contests, stuff like that. But I think having the awareness of our company and being seen had like keeps us growing. If you're not out there, not getting your name out there, you're not gonna continue to grow at all.
Well, I like that too, because part of like any salesperson's job is to build that brand awareness, not just for themselves and for marketing. I think that's the big misnomer. Like people think like, oh, I need to build a brand so that I can get busier. But the other side of it is, if you're in the type of business where you need someone else to have confidence in you, that's the reason to build the brand, right? Like you need to have that brand so that the realtor that didn't choose to use you for the home inspection, like the one on the other side of the transaction, they see right choice on there and they have confidence. And I think realtors need to remember how this works too, because you're only as good as your last transaction. And the people that are out there and their names are in the community, even if they didn't do the most sales, other agents will be more likely to accept your offer. And that is 50% of the game. You can generate as many crappy buyer leads online as you want, but if you don't have the reputation where other agents want to choose to accept your offer and work with you, you've wasted your time. So I love that you have the exact same example in your industry. What other types of things? What are some of your other, you know, unique value propositions that maybe other people in your industry or your market aren't offering right now?
We are very good with technology, inspector tool technology, stuff like that. Our software, top of the line technology, try to make it all as like user friendly as possible. I've seen tons of our competitors' stuff. A lot of home inspectors, like when I got into the industry, more old school, stuck to the standards of practice and stuff. But I was like, I want to do better than that and try to evolve what everybody thought a home inspector was or a home inspection is. Wanted to make it like an interactive experience with the client. So a lot of home inspectors, when I got into it, they're like, I don't want anybody there. Don't want the realtor there. Don't want the client there. I just want to do my job and get out of there, send the report. I chose to go about it like a different way. And I was like, I want to be a learning experience for the realtor, for the client, I want to teach them things while we're inspecting, show them the defects and deficiencies that we found, and like explain even how to repair some of that stuff. But now we're at the point with our inspectors when they're on site and stuff, we're showing the client like where main water shutoffs are. So if the husband or wife were not at home at the time, like both people know how to go shut the water off in the case of emergency. We show them how to change their furnace filters, stuff like that. Just like typical stuff you should know how to do that your average person may or may not know. But just love teaching and answering questions. When we're finished with the report or the inspection, we sit down with the client and the agent on site, because we want to educate the agent as well to make them better when out showing property, so they're more knowledgeable and experienced. And I think that's a great selling proposition for realtors as well, to learn and know what we know. So when you're out showing a property, you may see a 30-year-old AC unit outside or something, and that realtor knows in their head, like, oh, this could cost $6,000-$7,000. Like, we need to take this into account when making our offer and stuff like that. So,
well, you just kind of blew my mind on this one, because like my wheels are spinning right now on ideas for what our company can offer to our clients in the future. Mm-hmm. So, you know, here's my takeaway right now. If you're a realtor listening to this right now, call your home inspector, your local home inspector who you partner with, and have them give you, like, partner with them on getting like the top five list of, you know, basic home related skills that you could give to your clients, education that you learned from the inspector that you're going to take, put in writing, put in video. Maybe it's a video with your handy inspector. You're going to give that to every single client when they buy a house to empower them. I mean, like, if you're a realtor, adding that extra set of value is absolutely huge. I mean, I think when my wife and I bought our first house, we were 22. We have no idea what we're doing, right? Like, we were just living in an apartment and our furnace totally went out like the first cold day of the year. And called my realtor. Realtor forwarded me to the inspector. Inspector came by, took a look at the home he had just inspected a month ago, found the issue, told me what to do. And I was like, okay, we got this. But it was all those trusted people. If you're a realtor listening, I think you need to figure out how to add that extra home value to your clients and then market it. Right? Like, because if you market that, I guarantee you're going to be in the top. You're going to be in a very short list of agents offering those services to clients right now. And I think, you know, we talk about content and education. I know, Nick, you guys crush it on social media with education. But, you know, if you're a real estate agent, we don't need to just educate people on how great of a time it is to buy, right? Like, we need to educate them on things about houses. So talk to your inspector. Get some ideas. And if you're not working with an inspector that's willing to do that, I guarantee, I know a couple in Grand Rapids that are, you can reach out to me. There's some people in the IEB network. But I think it's a huge, huge opportunity.
Yeah. If that inspector wants your business, like, reach out to them. We take time. We do probably 25 of these a year, but we host and conduct a mock inspection where we'll reach out to a brokerage and we say, do you all have a vacant listing currently that we can take your whole brokerage to? And we invite them to come for like an abbreviated inspection, but we show them the entire thing, point out like defects and stuff that they can look for, typical things to look for. And everybody walks away like, oh my God, we just learned so much from this. And like, we're all better for it now. But it's a really, really cool experience, and highly recommend any agent reach out to their inspector and ask to get some help with that.
Neighborhood Realtor Podcast is proudly made possible by the support of our sponsors, Treadstone Funding and Neighborhood Loans, two amazing Midwest mortgage companies that now have offices all around the country. If you're a real estate agent looking to partner with an amazing lender, DM me at MattMuscat88 and I'll connect you with someone in your market. If you're a lender and you want to join the right mortgage company, DM me and I'll connect you as well.
So let's talk about the actual inspection industry, and let's give the realtors listening some tips on like what's changed in the inspection industry, what's coming, what things do people need to watch out for. I know there's technology. I know there's some new types of inspections that for liability reasons we need to start thinking about offering. What could give us the quick 3-minute update?
So technology and stuff, we're really adapting a lot of modern technology stuff that's not necessarily like part of a standard inspection. Our guys have thermal imaging cameras. We have sewer cameras that we can like do a visual inspection of your sewer line going from the home to the street.
What situations, walk me through, in what situations does that need to be done in a normal home inspection?
I mean, believe it or not, and I know realtors hate to hear it, but we recommend it on every single property. Some of the worst ones that we've encountered on the sewer scopes actually were brand new construction homes. So they put the pipes in the ground, backfill the dirt and stuff, and they may have not compacted it completely and stuff. And you got that equipment running around the house. Like, we found broken, damaged pipes, like collapsed pipes on brand new homes, so, believe it or not.
I'll give you a shout out on that one. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and in my neighborhood of beautiful new build homes, 70% of the homes had pipes underneath the homes. Within 3 months of moving in, the pipes were crunched, clogged, and everything from all the landscaping work and heavy equipment that was on there. And yeah, almost every two homes had a shared $10,000 bill to get those fixed. And I wish we would have had a like pipe sewer type inspection on that, because mm-hmm. we would have had the builder pay for it.
Yeah, no, it happened on our new construction home as well. Like, I think it was the beginning of the second year of living there. Our side yard started getting very wet, and I had a sewer scope performed, and our pipe had collapsed directly outside the house.
So let's talk about rental properties. What extra inspections need to be done in those? I've read a lot in the news recently, and I know we joked about it a little bit, but it's some serious stuff. What do realtors need to know?
So I came up with the idea last year. We're trying to evolve and stand out from our competition stuff. So I thought a rental or Airbnb inspection was necessary. And I told you earlier, I was watching the news last night, and they're talking about multiple Airbnb lawsuits going on currently with carbon monoxide deaths. And I'm like, that just completely solidified it in my mind that this was a good decision. But what we're offering with that is more of a safety compliance inspection. It's an inspection like we'll go through and just make sure you've got your smoke detector, carbon monoxide detector, fire extinguishers, like a exit plan posted, just stuff where if you have your a tenant or a short-term renter coming in, somebody can't get injured or accidentally die or something like that, and then you're liable for it. It's going to help reduce liability with property owners, property management companies. I just think it's a great service as well.
I love that. So, and you mentioned one, you mentioned like what's coming in the future. I mean, what the biggest problem, one of the biggest fears when people buy, I jokingly call them used houses, right? Like mm-hmm. non-new builds, is that you just don't know what's behind those walls. Like even the best inspectors currently can't tell you what they can't see without, destroying that home. Mm-hmm. What do you think is coming in the future?
Well, I mean, currently we have to adhere to a non-invasive inspection. It's a visual inspection, but I mean, the technology is there already, I think, and it's just going to be a matter of time till, I'm a firm believer we're going to have some type of handheld camera or something that, I mean, the infrared's already there and you could actually see behind walls, see cold hot spots. But I think we're just going to have something where you could do like a whole house scan. Or we were talking about the other day where you have a smart home where your furnace, your air conditioner, your electric panels all tied into some type of thing with like an app. And if something were to go wrong, it notifies you and tells you what's going on with your home and stuff. And I don't think we're too far away from homes and technology being like that.
Well, I love it. I mean, if we can detect cancer the moment it's present in the body, like why can't we know that there's mm-hmm. some mold behind the wall? It doesn't seem that too far-fetched. Well, Nick, this was awesome. I think we got a lot of value from learning on some crossover things that work in both industries, but also some tangible tips that realtors can take home. So if someone wants to connect with an inspector who truly knows their stuff or has any general questions on how to grow a business, be an entrepreneur, how could they get a hold of you?
Well, tell everybody, make the right choice, first of all, but you can find us on Instagram, Facebook. Our tag is @yourrightchoice. So look us up on there. We got some awesome content and stuff. We've got two great marketing people on staff. They're always out there making us look like rock stars and giving appreciation to those that keep us fed. So,
well, I'll give you one final shout out. You guys have an absolutely stellar social media presence that's coming from me. So, I think if you're in real estate and most of the people that you're following are also other realtors, check out Right Choice Home Inspection on social media, because some of the things that they are posting are things that you can copy, you can steal, and make your own. And I think sometimes we just need to look at slightly different industries in order to find content that you can make original for your market. So Everybody, thanks for tuning in today. Please, please, please take a moment, leave a review for us on the podcast store so we can get more great guests like Nick. Everyone, thanks for tuning in today.
Thanks for having me, Matt.